Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. We got a great show for you today. A really good one on food insecurity, a really fascinating topic that has far-reaching implications, far beyond what you would generally think it would, and what is actually happening in our community here in Fairfield, Iowa. But its implications aren't just for Fairfield. This is happening everywhere. I could say across the world, but certainly within the states. I'm a Chicago guy, and I know this is happening in Chicago, in the inner city, and everywhere else. So wherever you happen to be listening to this, this is happening for you. And don't think this doesn't include you, because we're all a breath away from things happening. So stay tuned and let's see what we can all do and jump on in. All right. You are listening to Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry. I happen to be Dr. Scott Terry for some reason. And today's show, like I said, is broadcast on KRUU 100.1 on your FM dial, KRUU FM. You could pick up some of the archives there. You could also pick up archives of the show by going to Ardent Center. Ardent is ARDENT, ardentcenter.com. And you could go to the media tab and you could see YouTube, a link to the YouTubes, a link to iTunes, link to podcast. So whatever format you want to listen or watch these in, you can do that. So food insecurity, really fascinating topic, and we've got two great guests with us today. By the way, the shows are broadcast 6:30 on Tuesdays, 12:30 on Thursdays. I keep forgetting to do that, so I got to remember to do that. All right, here in Fairfield, but like I said, listen to the archives. Email us. You'll see my email link on that Ardent Center website. Email me to participate, to join a show, to call on in, to come on in, or to just give us some ideas of what to do. All right. So we have the wonderful Dee Sandquist.
Hi, I'm Dee Sandquist, registered dietitian at Hy-Vee. As a registered dietitian, I've become quite interested in the area of food insecurity and also as a person. You may be surprised to find that 1 in 8 adults and 1 in 5 children in the state of Iowa don't know where their next meal is coming from.
What are those numbers again?
1 in 8 adults and 1 in 5 in the state. Now, Jefferson County's rate of food insecurity is actually higher. It's 19.9% of children, which is almost 20%.
20% of children don't know.
In our county.
Wow.
And 13.4% of the overall population. These statistics are from feedingamerica.org.
Oh, wow.
Which is a nationwide network that maps. You can literally go on their website, feedingamerica.org, and click on any county in the country and find out what the food insecurity rate is. So let's talk about what is food insecurity. It means that at some point in the month, you don't know where your next meal is coming from. The terminology is set by the USDA at the federal government level. And you may be surprised that these numbers are accurate. And it's likely your friends, neighbors, coworkers may go to bed hungry more than they should.
But it's not just even people you know or might know. It's your kids would go to school with somebody. That if it your community, we don't live in an island, right? So if somebody else has food insecurity, they will be affected by that, which means that they will have implications of how they're living, which does affect you, even if you don't know them personally and never meet them personally.
Right, and we have such an emphasis on education. We all want to see quality education. However, people don't learn if they're hungry.
And if they don't learn and they don't get ahead, we all...
And it goes back into that spiral.
That's Ken Daly, the wonderful Ken Daly, who's with us again today. And by the way, Dee, you're at Hy-Vee, so if you're not from Iowa, that's a grocery store, a really wonderful grocery store.
That has registered dietitians in all their grocery stores.
Yeah.
She works for Hy-Vee, so I'm in the outside, and I can praise Hy-Vee. They've been very instrumental in being very progressive in terms of creating community support for wellness and nutrition, obviously, in particular.
Yeah. So a plug for Hy-Vee. I mean, I used to go there every week for Toastmasters. And, they have a lot of openings and an open meeting room, which mm-hmm. people could utilize. And as a registered dietitian, I mean, you really know about food and what's healthy and what's not. And what I really like about the store is, okay, so I have a little bit of money and I could go to the store and buy things. But I like, even at the checkout counters, they're segregated where I could get something healthy, where there's mm-hmm. real sections of you can get healthy here or not. And so I find this a real advantage. I'm, again, a guy from Chicago who was at Dominic's and Jewel, mm-hmm. which used to exist, I guess, or Dominic's used to exist. I forget which one kind of got lost. And, you know, other stores like that. And there was none of that. There was none of, like, this is healthy and having it spelled out. So, you know, I'm really hungry and I'm going to be impulsively buying food. Mm-hmm. We all become somewhat emotional eaters.
And many people think it costs a lot of money to eat healthy. It doesn't have to. It's about prioritizing how you spend your food dollar, really making a list, shopping the ads, sticking to the list, and see what's on sale. And a lot of times you'll find there's some excellent buys in produce, fruits, whole grains, you know, the healthier items.
That's great. And so for those of us that do have some income, which is most people, they're even gearing people towards a healthier kind of mentality and a healthier diet and healthier lifestyle, which, again, we don't exist in an island. You out there who's listening, if you're not healthy, it creates a burden on the society, and your not just your family and friends, but on the society pays for that.
And what typically helps people take that first step to eating better is, what's the motivation? It's you're going to feel better. And who doesn't want to feel better?
Absolutely. And the flip side of that is, if you're feeling better and your brain, you know, which is my thing, is feeling better, right, and you could think clearer, then you are a benefit to everybody, not just your immediate family, but everybody, because you're allowed to make a bigger difference in this world. You know, we're all here for something.
And there's quite a bit of research out there about the quality of diet and how you can improve your mental health and feel better. And it's not just what you eat, it's exercise and the whole taking care of your body.
Yeah, well, it's Ken's here.
Yeah, so we come back to that, what I call the big four. And number one is getting adequate sleep. Number two.
And sleep really is the first pillar.
Absolutely, for all of mental health and physical health. And then your second one that you've got is what we're talking about right now, is nutrition. Third one is, you know, activity and exercise. And the fourth one is creating meaning in your life, or transcendence mm-hmm. in some way, something that takes you to something more important than yourself. So all four of those are crucial. And it's sometimes, Dee just stimulated a thought that I had. We think of Fairfield and city, but what we have to remember is that most of Iowa is rural. And in rural Iowa, we have some real food problems outside of the city, because there's access.
It's bizarre that there'd be food difficulties in rural Iowa.
And I mean,
it's understandable in Chicago, right, where there's a food desert in the inner city, where at places there's no grocery stores. The only food store is a fast food place or 7-Eleven kind
of. Right, the food swamps.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But in a sense, it's almost the same here. I can't tell you how many times I go to a small town, and the biggest food store is the Caseries, which isn't really a grocery store. It's like a fast food thing, and it's a gas station.
And so transportation can be an issue. It's also oftentimes mm-hmm. single-parent homes,
right,
many which are women with small children, are at high risk of food insecurity for multiple reasons, because oftentimes there may be a lower-paying wage, and also just the time it takes to cook and eat healthy if somebody's working, mm-hmm. trying to put food on the table in the first place.
And one of the things right now is that also the knowledge, as you were saying earlier, of how to eat healthy mm-hmm. and even to cook. I mean, we are, as a society right now, are heater-uppers. You know, we heat stuff. If we don't know what temperature to turn it to, we don't know what to do with it.
There's a lot of people that don't know how to cook. And as a registered dietitian, it was about the 15 years ago, you know, we used to make an assumption people knew how to cook. Quickly, as I would work with someone on changing their diet, the first question I asked is, do you cook?
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas before, we always assume people cook, and there's a lot of people that don't know how to cook. And so then the question becomes, are you willing to learn? And there's multiple ways you can learn nowadays. There's websites, there's videos. You know, you can easily access a dietitian in the store. But
absolutely,
there's all sorts of ways you can learn to cook available.
But, I mean, that you know, it's one thing to talk about food insecurity when we're talking about people in poverty, low SES, socioeconomic status. But that doesn't mean that even people with money, you know, we all grew up in the 50s and 60s, right, where, you know, you had the TV dinners. And white bread was food. And, you know, Twinkies was considered food. You know, ketchup was considered a vegetable, right? And so it's like, what's real food? But, you know, as a psychologist, family therapist, counselor, and somebody who trains lots of people, one of my biggest issues is if I'm not getting nutrition to the brain, right? We'll talk about sleep and exercise and that. If I can't get blood flow to the brain, you can't think clearly. If you can't think clearly and you're more agitated and you've forget about, okay, you're drinking or you're doing something really bad, you're just not eating healthy. Your brain isn't working as well and you're more likely to get agitated. You're going to have more couple issues, right? So even people are coming into me for couples counseling, surprise, nothing to do with, you know, lifestyle issues or anything else. I still need to talk about lifestyle concerns. Because if you're in a fight with your partner, right, but your brain's not working well and you're easily agitated, right, it's like the easiest, simplest thing. Don't come see me. Eat healthy, you know?
Yeah. Well, and there is a lot of research out there about how food insecurity can lead to obesity.
Yes.
And that might sound like an oxymoron because you say, how can that be if people don't have enough to eat and then they're obese? What happens is because of the lack of consistent source of food, when they get it, they eat too much.
Or they eat fast food.
Or the wrong food.
They eat the wrong food. So if I'm eating fast food or, you know, I'm emotionally eating, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to cut you off.
Well, and then the spiral begins.
Right.
And
then
you get in that cycle. So that's one cause, especially it can also lead to asthma. It can lead to behavior problems, fighting, arguing. And it's, again, going back to the basics of let's talk about what is a healthy diet. Quite simply, take a paper plate, draw a line in the half. Half that plate's fruits and vegetables. And then about a little less than a half is a protein food, and the other quarter is whole grain. So it's about a quarter protein, a quarter whole grain, and half fruits and veggies.
And that's really fascinating. By the way, at the rec center on campus here, you've got a wonderful poster that talks about food and talks about that. I was really impressed with that. Because it's, again, I'm in rural Iowa right now. We're in Fairfield, Iowa. But, again, this issue exists in Chicago. This exists everywhere. And, you know, I have some people that, for instance, are very much literally still meat and potatoes. And the problem is it's not just, you know, forget about the environmental ramifications of meat. We're not going to even talk about that. Right. What's really fascinating is you're kind of missing the point. You're having too much meat, right, which you can't digest, and you're having it at the wrong time. You're having it at night where you can't digest it, and you're now having sleeping problems, and then you're waking up because you haven't slept and you need more caffeine. And again, this vicious cycles that people keep getting into.
The body can only efficiently utilize about 4 ounces, 3 to 4 ounces, depending on the size of the person, a protein at a time.
Right.
So
does that matter what type?
No.
So any type, 3 to 4 ounces.
So for people who typically might have cereal for breakfast or grab a bagel and a coffee, there's no protein there, right?
Right, none.
And so lunch, what do you grab? Something simple that may have very little protein. So you wait till dinner and have a large source of protein. The body is not utilizing that large source of protein as protein. It's taking what it needs, which is about 3 to 4 ounces, and then it's either storing the rest.
Right.
As fat.
Right, like we're squirrels.
Or if you've been active, it'll use it as energy.
Right. So, by the way, you're listening to Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry. Today we are talking about food insecurity, a fascinating, far-reaching topic that really touches every single one of you who's listening today. So thank you for sticking in today. And we have two wonderful guests, Dee Sandquist, who's a registered dietitian at Hy-Vee, which has done some wonderful, wonderful work. And, of course, the amazing Ken Daly, who has done so much for so many different communities and different dimensions. Who's staring at the screen, spacing out.
No, I was just thinking of something that Dee said. You know, one of the things that with children is that to help them eat better, it's a very simple thing. Get them to eat colorfully.
Yeah. You know,
because right now kids will eat white and red.
Interesting.
They'll eat white and red. That's what they gravitate to.
Well, and many times the parents are the models, mm-hmm. so the kids will imitate what the parents eat. So if the parents don't eat vegetables, it's going to be very difficult to put a vegetable on your child's plate and expect them to eat it.
Right, or they'll have a vegetable, but they'll cover it with so much sauces and sugar. And again, it's food, by the way, is I consider the most addictive substance, right? Because you don't need alcohol to live. You need food to live. Yeah. So, you know, and we're all become emotional eaters, and it's so easy for us to get in these vicious cycles and these traps of not eating healthy and not eating in a way that is really helping us to think clearly and grow and be what we want. Again, if my big meal is the typical American diet says at night, and I've eaten this huge meal with lots of meat and lots of potatoes and no real vegetables and nothing, I'm not going to be able to sleep healthy at night. I'm not burning off that. It's not like I'm using that energy at night to do something, right? So it's not just, I would add, not just what I eat, but when and how I'm eating it. You know, if I'm eating a fast food while I'm driving and I'm not focused on my food and I'm not settled, you know, if I'm eating, you know, foods that don't agree with my body, maybe it agrees with my partner's body, so I'm eating it because they want it, you know, or they're addicted to sugar, you know, which is, again, highly, highly addictive, you know, what do we do? So
it's complicated, and by going with the choose my plate method,
yes,
you can reset that body chemistry. It might take a couple weeks, but you can, mm-hmm. and you'll find over time the cravings will reduce. Many times people ask me, how can I reduce my cravings? Number one, feed your craving. Don't feed it everything you want, but a few bites, and then stop. Make sure you're hydrated, so make sure you're drinking plenty of water, because if you don't drink enough water, you may think you're hungry, but you're really thirsty.
Yeah, absolutely. Or your blood sugar has dropped, so I'm pumping up with sugar. I mean, there's so many examples of that, right? And if I, instead of then grabbing, I need sugar and go for that candy bar or the whatever, you know, have a piece of fruit, you
right.
know?
Because you'll still get a natural sugar, which is okay.
Yeah.
People don't overeat on fruits.
But they do if they drink, you know, glasses of juices,
yes.
right? How many apples do you need to have a big glass of apple juice? Are you going to really eat that much with that fiber?
It's better to have that apple than the juice for two reasons. One is the fiber in the apple is good for your digestive health. And the juice, you would only be eating about a fourth of a cup of juice or drinking that. And many, I mean, that's a very small portion on today's standards.
Right. Yes, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. And again, coming back to with the kids and the adults, this color thing, I'm going to play on that
yeah,
a little
yeah,
bit
please.
More, because every time you can get somebody to extend their diet into new areas very easily. And with children, the idea of color, and they actually say, what color is this, young children? And they say, purple. Well, what can you eat that's purple, right? And then you go to green and to blue and to all different. And you never think of food having all of these kind of dimensions, but it's a great trigger for kids to say, how many colors can you eat on your plate tonight? And they start looking at it, and it becomes a family interaction. That it's food as relationship.
Which is another point to really be making, is food isn't just food, right?
Right. And food is medicine, basically. And, you know, my
and
dad...
And it's also community.
Exactly. It's relationship building. And we've gotten away from that in our country by far, because families don't eat together. And clearly research shows that the families that eat together have better communication because they talk to each other, turn the TV off.
Right. Yeah, I know. Some people are like their phones around while they're eating. It's like, no. Actually there to connect with your body, connect with your food, and connect with people around you. Right?
It's that dinner time conversation.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I'd like to come back to right now in terms of evolution in the community is that there's a group of people that started to actually identify this food shortage as being something that has to be addressed. And last summer, Dee, you went and were involved, I think, with some material having to do with food dialogue, and you started to spawn a group, right?
I was struggling with what can we do here in our community to help fight hunger.
Okay.
Because it's great to feed worldwide and to try to help do things there, but clearly I knew it exists here. So what can we do here? And I know I participate in many community groups, and somewhere on the list is hunger. They want to get there. Well, clearly the organizations that exist are Lord's Cupboard, Carry On Bags, which is supplemental food that goes home on weekends with kids from school.
And there's 200 and some kids every week, right?
Yeah, right now the number's about 180.
180 kids every week is getting food sent home because they don't have enough food at home.
Yes.
That's right.
And I've got a powerful story if you want to get out the Kleenex about that. We started this about 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And this story is from a media associate, and I have permission to share it. But what she says is she walked into a classroom one day where a group of teachers were talking about a homeless high school student that was sleeping on couches of friends. Conversation turned to elementary students who come back to school on Monday and say they have not eaten since they left school on Friday. This is in Fairfield, Iowa. It became clear to us that hungry students could be found throughout the district. So as a result of that, the group of teachers, the Methodist Church, and Hy-Vee started Carry On Bags program. We named it that because the backpack program that some of you may be familiar with is a trademark name with Feeding America. And so what this is every week students are able to take home food, and we've had clearly many stories about how it has helped kids to be able to look forward to the weekend and have some food because their parents either don't cook for them, aren't able. We don't know the reasons. I mean, there's clearly.
Yeah, it clearly comes back to some My World stuff. Mm-hmm. And but so tell me more in our last few minutes here about this hunger dialogue that you've set up. And
so what I did was I thought.
And again, this is in Fairfield,
this
Iowa.
This is in Fairfield. It meets the fourth Thursday of the month at noon at the Hy-Vee Club Room. Everyone's welcome. So I wanted this to involve anyone that wanted to come. I got online, found Hunger Free Iowa. The first meeting, which was last July, we had some AmeriCorps Vista volunteers come down who had this template for like six meetings. So what we did is we went through a process where we were able to find the resources available in our communities. So on the website, Let's Go Jeffco, you can find a list of those resources. We did a strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threat exercise to see what existed, how we can work together. We also did asset mapping to find out what was available. From that, we'll fast forward to now. On Tuesdays and nights on the 2nd, and fourth Tuesday of the month, there is currently a free meal at First Lutheran Church, 201 West Briggs, the corner of Highway 1 and Briggs Street. And anyone is welcome to come, and you get a free hot meal. And so various community groups are volunteering to provide that meal. It just started.
And again, this is in Fairfield, Iowa. Mm-hmm. This is a rural place that grows food, right? Mm-hmm. And again, the staggering thought of that. And again, this is here, but if you're listening in Chicago or in Singapore, wherever you're listening to this, this is happening where you're living in too.
Right. And the beauty of the dialogue model is we're not a formal group, which is refreshing. We're people who care about a topic, and the topic's hunger and food insecurity. So we've been able to form different work groups. So each time we meet, we try to have a little bit of education on some topic of interest to the group, whether it's what another community doing, what's going on at the public schools. We have a new food service director who's been doing some wonderful things mm-hmm. to get kids healthier foods, starting, you know, getting more meals like breakfast meals. They're going to do more this summer with summer feeding, which has been a problem in the past for kids being hungry in the summer. So things are happening, and it's exciting. Everybody's in the same room, and we're trying to really identify what we can accomplish.
So if you're anybody that's out there that's interested in participating, don't feel that you have to be the head honcho in some organization. It's a dialogue. It's a discussion. And where it goes can go wherever you think it could go as a group, too. We're very supportive of lots of initiatives that are not driven by us. We are a collective people that are coming together to talk.
And one of the challenges that we have identified is people in need aren't sure where to go. We have some pastors that are participating in the group, and people might go to all the different churches in town. Well, wouldn't it be nice if we had one place people could go? We have the director of the Chamber of Commerce who says their office receives a lot of inquiries. So my hope is at some point we can find a place or a couple places where people clearly know if I need help, this is where I can go.
Got it. So in our final minute here, tell us again if people are interested in becoming involved. Again, we suggest everybody listen to the beginning part of this, and hopefully you guys are going to come back again, and we're going to talk more about food insecurity from all perspectives, as we started with today, looking at even if you've got money or resources and still not eating in a way that's working for you, or others in your community aren't, which also affects you. But we're talking right now people who really don't have food, and getting them food and healthy food in a way to feed children in this community, in a rural community where people grow food, there's no food, right? And so if people want to become involved, again, where do they go, and how do they find out about you guys?
They can contact me, Dee Sandquist at Fairfield Hy-Vee. You can contact Ken Daly. The fourth Thursday of the month at the Fairfield Hy-Vee Club Room at noon is the meeting. Everyone's welcome.
And do you guys have an email or website?
Sure. Well, we have email, but you can just call my phone at 641-209-9893.
This is Ken Daly.
And this is the letsgojeffco.com organization. We look after wellness in the county, and we can, from there, channel you to the right places.
Okay, what's the phone number again?
641-209-9893.
Thank you. D, anything else from you before we go?
Email the letter D, SANDQUIST at hyvee.com.
Wow, cool. And they could also find you there. They could just come on out. And again, if you're from outside the community and want to find out more information, they could contact you as well, and you'll put them in touch with things. Thank you so much, both of you. Great show. Mental Health Matters, KRUU 100.1 on your FM dial. Bye.